Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, wow.
Okay, wow. Welcome to episode 4 of Off Book, On Book, the scripted musical process.
Scripted musical process. Brainstorm, the gathering brainstorm. Boom, boom. I'll put a lightning effect in right here.
Perfect.
Whoa.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's been a little tired.
Yeah.
But I'm good.
I've been.
We had a fun Every Place I Cry show this weekend.
Oh gosh, did we? Thank you so much, all of you who chipped in for that. We raised a lot of money for a lot of people below the line who have been affected by the strike. And that's who that went to, yes? Yeah,
yeah,
which was great, and it felt really good to be able to do that, and that's all because of you. And we got to do a fun show too, and we got some rad footage from it. For some of you that haven't seen it, hopefully we'll have a way for you to see it soon.
Yeah, thank you, Drew Spears Productions, who truly rolled out the whole shebang.
But
like
all of it
five
was
cameras.
Like,
it was a little. It was like
it was extra all the way across the board, though, because like you got to have your dream of starting a mosh pit. Ross crowd surfed, like truly wild. Speaking of,
so
live,
I'll take this opportunity. Yeah, there you go. I'll take this opportunity to say, come see us do Off Book Live, please.
Hey,
we love
please.
To see your faces.
Hey please. Some of the tickets are almost gone, and some of them we'd actually like it if there were some more sold.
Yeah, we, Seattle, dear sweet friends, we're looking at you. We are in kind of a big room for us. We'd love if you like did that thing where maybe you've definitely already bought a ticket, but maybe you like bring a friend.
Yeah, and maybe you actually, like, we need you to bring 8 or 9 friends because you're so popular. and we do need you. So that's September 18th, 7 o'clock at the Crocodile in Seattle. We got 2 shows in Portland. The early show, the 7 o'clock show on September 19th is almost sold out. The 9:30 show has some tickets left. Hey, you come into the 7 o'clock show, who knows when we'll be back? Maybe you want to come to both, and maybe now's the time to do that. That's in Mississippi Studios.
And then for our friends in the SoCal area, we're going back to the Bourbon Room, which has been the home to 2 very fun live shows. So, and that one's also selling pretty well, but there are tickets. So don't wait. Come see us at the Bourbon Room. Those shows have been a blast. And for those people who've been sliding in or asking about other areas, yes, we are trying. A lot of people want to tour because of the strikes, but don't think that we won't keep trying. Though we have sunsetted the weekly release, like, we love doing Off Book Live. So even if we don't get any more dates in the rest of 2023, you can look for those in 2024. We're going to come to Midwest. We're going to come to the Northeast. We're going to try to hit Atlanta. All these cities are very much on our radar. It's just that, unfortunately, they are also on every other touring.
Every single artist is out of work and everyone is like, now is the time for me to tour.
But we know that even when the strikes are over, it's going to take a second. So we're still going to tour. So don't worry. We are trying to come for you.
We're coming for you in the best possible way.
Yeah. Okay, but this is the episode where we've been doing this fun experiment where we want to write a musical. Write a new musical that you get to hear the process. And we started by saying, all right, what's all that good that we created for 6 years? Mm-hmm. What are the gold in those hills? And thank you for those of you who listened to 6 to 7 hours of us discussing our own improv show, which is, you know.
Look, I've never known my own navel better. You know, I have a great view of it now. I looked at it for a long time.
A long time. Thank you to Jackie for helping us. And we will post when this episode drops, we will post the word cloud that on the Instagram that was a very funny exercise. But this is where we're going to come from those ideas. And Zach, you're going to hear Zach. We have not talked about this separately.
No, we have not.
So this is us coming to each other in a real brainstorm. And I think starting now, Zach, let's try to just talk like we normally would, as if we weren't on a pod.
Absolutely. I will give one preface, though, that is very funny to me, that like the audience is about to witness something that like you and I are both sort of familiar with, but we never sort of put into words, which is that like I fully suspect that the things that I am bringing to the table are 1,000% less grounded than the things that you are bringing to the table.
Yes.
That is our dynamic.
I think things that people could intuit where they're like, who most often makes the slime sing and who often is like...
Who often gives the slime a quinceañera as sort of like a growing moment for the slime. Still funny and good, but just like grounded and like deep.
I mean, you and I we're dedicated to the content that comes from both of our brains.
That's right. Which brings me to my first pitch, slime quinceañera. Slime quinceañera is actually quite good.
It's really good.
So we decided to come away like the way, and you're right, from this point forward, we should just talk about as if it's not a podcast. Okay, ready? Listener, we've forgotten about you. So we talked about maybe doing some that were more thought out and some like sillier ones. I feel like when you and I, like, none of these are obviously done. Like we can riff on all of them. They all sort of come from this. It's like what stuck from this big, long assignment and like, let's build some stuff off of it. Do you have any, sorry, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, do you want to say like what felt like area, like what felt like thematic areas of heat for you?
Yeah. I mean, you and I have always been drawn to high concept, low stakes, which is to say like not insane stakes, like, right? Like very important stakes, but it's like, you know, it's that Eddie Izzard sketch of Darth Vader in the Death Star canteen. It's like science fiction, but it's just someone trying to get like spaghetti.
Did I tell you the story that a writer told me on the picket line about a Darth Vader idea he had?
No, but is it really good? And are we about to steal a musical about it?
Okay, so I was commiserating with him about what happened with our movie at DreamWorks.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, honestly, it's like, it's such a bummer. And I was like, but I kind of suspect there were like notes along the way where there was like this one exec who kept making it, trying to make it like legit evil. And Zach and I had to be like, we refuse to celebrate a true dictator, and especially not in a movie for children. Like, what the hell are you actually talking about?
Yeah. To give a little bit more context, this was
No, they're not here, Zach.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
No, I'm kidding. You can context away. We had like a villain redemption story, which obviously they know we love. But to do that, you have to make that person redeemable, which means they have to start from a place that isn't like...
Yeah, they have to be a fun villain. They can't just be like, what villain? If they were a mass murderer? It's like,
truly. And there was like one exec who kept being like, but what if this person was like a little more evil? And you and I had to constantly be like, but it's a comedy. Anyway, so I was like also, talking to this...
it's DreamWorks. Like, what are we talking about? Like,
I know.
What world is DreamWorks going to be like, this is the one where we melted all of Minnesota and everyone in Minnesota is dead.
It was so warped. It felt so wild to have to keep having that conversation. Anyway, then this guy was like, yeah, this is a guy who is like older than us, like was around for the 2007 strike, is a co-creator of like a pretty big TV show.
Mm, he drops
very nice guy.
The 2007 strike.
I know. I don't know if I want to like
you
fully out
that.
Him
you
right now,
that.
But he's very sweet. And he was telling me this story that he once had a script where he was like, oh, okay, I have this idea for a show where it's sort of like a Darth Vader vehicle or like a Darth Vader type character. Mm-hmm. And he gets tried for his war crimes. Like he, you know, like a good like rebellion takes over. He gets tried for his war crimes, and their punishment for him, his version of like jail, is he gets sent to Earth High School. They're like the worst, most hardest thing in the world. And he had an exec who said, yeah, cool. Oh my gosh, I'm getting like, this is going to be so edgy with like cool, like school shooter vibes.
What?
And the guy was like, no.
It's
and
absolutely
he basically
not going
took
to be
the
that.
Project away and killed it because he was like, how dare that be your instinct? It's a comedy about
Darth
what
Vader's
if Darth Vader
high school.
Had to go to an American high school. I think he wanted it to be like maybe like an animated show. School like a silly like.
What are we talking about?
Can you believe that?
It's just like another sort of check in the column of, oh, right. I don't know how people get these jobs as studio executives, but it truly
so
feels
rough.
It's so rough. It's like.
Anyway, their notes are sometimes very bad. Some of them are great. I know very few mediums, but actually there are tons of mediums. I was going to say, I feel like I only have experiences with execs that I like really love. And I'm like, oh, they're brilliant.
We've had some great ones. We had some great ones at DreamWorks who we love.
Totally.
They're also not there. Anyway. We don't need to say this. So you can tell me the man's name because no one else is listening. It's just you and me.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And we'll bleep it out.
I just know his name's I can tell you the...
yeah, what show?
He's very nice. But we were like, yeah, why would you ever... When you're dealing with comedy, you have to get those stakes correct because... Otherwise, you can't laugh at it.
I suspect there is a subsection of the population for whom there is no bridge too far, but I think that the sliver is quite small. And I think that a lot of people are like, everyone will love if it's edgy. And it's just like, also the world has changed, right? Like
that's also something that I like crack up. We've been given that a little bit where it's like, yeah, go ahead and make this as like edgier, as effed up as you want. And we're like, what? Okay, we're fine.
Yeah. We do, but like that is a weird thing. It's like, who is sitting down at the TV is like, I want my fucking moral compass to be challenged right now.
Give me some twisted shit. I guess some people like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot safer in, it's a lot better served in features because you only sit with it for like an hour and a half or 2 hours.
And you get the whole arc. Like, you know where it starts and you know where it ends.
Yeah. But a TV show, I don't think I could ever, I don't think I could ever write anything like that anyway. I appreciate that some people can, but for it to be funny is like that's so daunting.
Yeah.
Okay. So I agree with you. I like stakes. I like high concept, but lower stakes or more like human emotional stakes.
Yes. It's got to have human emotional stakes. I also want to talk like business for a second. Like we're
business.
Business. It's business time.
Okay, great.
So we're sort of like, we're talking about developing an IP here. And you and I have also sort of like, we want to do the recorded version that we have all done. We've floated the idea of maybe having it be like also translatable into a two-person show and then maybe also eventually like a full-length Broadway style, like musical. Like it's IP, it can live in whatever it wants. But I was trying to think in terms of like, you and I have always talked about, it's like we go to general meetings and they're like, we want to work with like creators who have like these ideas that they love. And you and I do occasionally have ideas that we love, but I think maybe as a byproduct from doing the show, maybe not. We're also like, we will find a way to fall in love with any idea that we spend enough time with. And on that, and on that sort of wavelength, I'm thinking, how can we set ourselves up for like long-term success here? So in addition to the things that you and I are drawn to, what are some sort of areas that I think are like extremely sellable? And I know that that's like a gross thing to say kind of in the business of it all, but it is sort of in the back of my head where I'm thinking like, oh, these are, if not IPs, these are areas that like, if I took this show to Fringe, the poster alone would sell it out. And there are shows that are like that. And I think that like, that is not a thing that is, you and I never do things that are like only that. We're not like, here's our cash cow idea, let's do it. But it has been sort of in the back of my head for some of these ideas that I've come up with, which will become evident as we talk about them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think like you and I have talked about for this project, making sure that we don't just blue sky the most absurd idea possible, that we try to keep
needs to be doable.
We try to keep an eye on something that's doable. Yeah. I don't think there's anything. I agree with you. I think like we oftentimes like fall in love with something in execution, not necessarily in its inception.
I think almost always. I think I almost never love pitches. I love products. I'm sometimes really excited for pitches, but I don't like love them, you know?
Yeah.
I fall
in
love later. What were the stuff that stuck with you from the word cloud and the dump and all that stuff?
So I think same thing about like steaks and these worlds where almost everything operates like our world, but with one sort of bigger conceit. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other thing that I was just like, yeah, let's maybe not run away from the fact that we love writing, like by writing, I mean like improvising. We find a lot of like depth and humor and road with teens.
Yeah. And teens are emotionally volatile in a way that I think is really useful for us.
Yeah. And I'm like, listen, in a stage version, you and I could absolutely just play teens.
Right.
And, you know, it's, and this is like, this is way back in our history of like always be thinking of like, when, how do we get to perform it? But that would be my thought is like, okay, I think that it, we would be remiss to see how often we like harness the energy of young adults or teens, people who are at like that, like you said, emotionally volatile place. It feels like that is also very sellable.
I agree. And I think that it's something that we have ended up becoming good at writing because we inhabit it so much.
Yeah. I mean, like it's very hard to write about the moment you're in. It's a lot easier to write about a moment that you have exited. But though we're not that close to our teens, it does still feel very like accessible to me.
We're not, for whatever reason, we're not so old that it's like, to be young, I don't understand the youth anymore.
Right. Like maybe I don't know what exactly it feels like to be 15 in 2023 to have like come out of COVID and always had a cell phone. Like, I don't think I have access to that.
Right.
But I have access to the evergreen part of like that age is very specific for everybody. Like it's very, very, and I love a coming of age story. Yeah. Like have you seen, You're So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah?
No, I heard it's great though.
It's very cute. It's really sweet.
Do we know who produced that?
Well, it's Sandler, but, Sammy Cohen directed it. Have you ever met them? They are like I've had coffee with them actually to talk about directing. They're in the like Sam Reicherverse.
Oh, great.
Used to direct a bunch of College Humor stuff. A really, really smart director. So that was... And Jordy did costumes.
Oh, we love Jordy.
So it's a very cute movie, but very sweet. And I watch a lot of YA stuff. Also, we consume YA fantasy.
I consume YA fantasy like it's nobody's business. I also consume like YA anime. Like it's crazy.
So I feel like we would be dummies to potentially turn away from like what I think is something that we're really good at accessing.
I agree. Plus it's fun. Do you want to start with stupid stuff and get less stupid, or how do you want to do this? Or you just want to like trade off and see what we got?
Whatever you think.
I don't think. I have no thoughts. I'm only vibes at this point. Okay, well, here's one. Let's start here. This is sort of a confluence of a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about, and I'll add in one other element to this. You and I are both sort of like, recovering is the wrong word. We are ex-mega Harry Potter fans, right? Yeah. Because that fandom was like so poisoned by J.K. Rowling's like anti-transness that it just like felt bad to inhabit it.
Totally. I support everybody who finds a way to still love Potter and everything that it stands for. But yes, it's very hard
separate the architect from the house. But yes,
especially while they're still living and still saying bullshit stuff.
Still living and still saying wild fucking stuff. So in that vein, there have been a number of like, let's go to wizard school projects that have popped up. And I think that there is a space here for something that is like, something that is, healing a little bit to the space of like doing a better version of that sort of like scratches the things that we love about it. We obviously don't use any of the stuff that would get us sued, but that's not hard to do because almost everything that she has in that books in those books is from something else. like it's a there So here are my rough thoughts. These are bad, but they're just a starting place. We could do Bogwarts. Bogwarts is just if Hogwarts was in like a bayou, and it's just like a very, very swamp-based wizard school. It's way less affluent than Hogwarts is. Yeah, and then the other one is sort of like a run on that, which is just like public wizard school. This is like not the highest. They don't have all the stuff. The magic stuff doesn't work, and it's just like way more normal kids. But I still feel
like that is worn territory. Like there was like that there's Wizards of Waverly Place.
I'm not
there
familiar. I do know that it exists, but I don't know anything
there,
about it.
There was like that Nickelodeon wizard drama that our good friend Tyler was in.
That was a wizard show?
Yeah. Also, I feel like Wednesday has kind of taken a lot of this space up.
Wednesday is a monster school. There are many, many monster school shows going on too.
So I do worry that, and also I think that we should stay away from anything that feels like parody. I feel like we should make sure it feels like a parody musical you and I could write for fun very quickly.
For sure. Yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking of it as a parody. I was thinking more of like this like fantasy space was something that we spent so much time in and have so many like ideas about and is so fertile that I agree with you. There are a lot of other people doing it, but I think we would do it very well. And I think it's extremely sellable.
Well, I think Bogwarts is definitely parody.
Yeah. Unless, no, I was saying from worst to best. I don't feel strongly about either of those things. I just think,
I do have to feel like for me, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you put out a wizard school property, you're just going to get comps.
What does that mean?
Just going to get compared. You're just going to like, it's going to be really hard to feel like it's your own.
Yeah, that's fair.
I still feel like Harry Potter still has the mind space of like a wizard going away to school.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, I mean, there's also something to be like, what's the part that excites you the most? A school story with a conceit?
No, I think I like castle vibes, and I think I like the idea of telling like an extremely trans story in a space. Not that that's like, not even a trans story, but like a trans friendly story. I like the idea of rebuilding that world in a more inclusive way.
That definitely puts us in the world of like, now we feel like headcanon of someone else's thing versus our.
That is true. That is certainly true.
It starts to feel like, because listen, in my head canon, Helga Hufflepuff is trans. And has been for years.
Has been forever.
for truly forever. I mean, like, I love the spirit behind that, but I feel like that, I don't want to like draw any sort of comparisons. No,
totally, totally fine. Just to start.
But I guess the part is like, so the castle is big for you.
The castle and the magic are
because
big
I'm like
for me.
I also love
fantasy stuff.
Yes, no, I know. I think like Sky High is fun, and it's doing like a similar. You know, there's like the idea of blank high school or blank.
Yes,
something is also fun to me.
It is the convergence of two loves of mine, which is like fantasy stuff and school stuff. So like, I think that's where that's coming from. But yeah, it could be some like, you know, it could be anything in that space that doesn't draw as many direct comps is, I think, fine.
Yeah.
Just wanted to throw that out there. Just as a starting
place. Talk, I know you feel this way. You bring up a wizard school.
I just want to do wizard school real bad. That's okay.
I think you do. And I love and respect that for you. It makes me a little like, not nervous is the right word, but just like, it feels like it gets into parody space or it gets into like...
It's less interesting to you and that's totally fair.
Yeah, because it feels like this is our take on this thing that means a lot to us versus like,
it is
here's
that.
A whole cloth new idea.
Yes, it is. It is definitely that. That is fair.
Which I guess isn't necessarily parody, but it still feels like very inspired by.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, yes. I have some stuff that is definitely inspired by on this list just because I feel like it is, if we have something that's like totally, absolutely whole cloth original that we love, like great. But I feel like whenever we're pitching something, we're often using like, it's this meets this. right?
Sure.
Just as like a shorthand for like getting an idea of what an idea is.
Yes.
But yeah.
Definitely.
Give me one.
Okay, so now I'll bring up something that I always bring up, which is like intergenerational stories.
Oh, yeah.
So, and this is actually a little bit born out of that idea we had when we were framing how we might try to sell off book as a special. So have you seen About Time?
No.
Okay. Not important.
Is that the one where the dad and the son are the ones that can go through time?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's like very like there's not a lot of magic to the magic. Like they go in a closet and close their eyes. You know, like there's not
it's not about the time travel of it all.
And everything else in the world is like all regular. And because it really does come up a lot of times, either a teen discovers that they have this ability, or this ability runs in their family. But it's basically, it's a portal story, because I feel like we really like portals.
We do came like up portal stories.
Even more often than I thought. And it's basically like, maybe it's in a family, or maybe it's like discovered under a town or something. So it's not necessarily just one teen. It could be like a group of teens or something, but it's a portal that will allow you very limited access to yourself at other ages.
You're not with yourself. You are yourself at other ages.
Like I could open my closet door and I could be like, can anybody give me advice about how to ask this person out? And then my like 45-year-old self comes out and is like, oh, which crush is this? Oh yeah, we loved them. Okay, here's what you got to do. And then like the pitfalls of, should you know that information? Is that helpful? Or is knowing too much about like what could come of your future harmful?
Wow. That's mind bendy. Okay, so you can talk to the other versions of yourself.
But I feel like in a fun way that's a little bit randomized. Like you couldn't necessarily, like they could go to the closet and ask that question and get their 6-year-old self.
You get who you get.
Yeah, exactly. Get your 6-year-old self who's just like, I don't know, just do it. Isn't it just like, remember that time we climbed the tree? We were scared at first. You know, like, but then this person has to sort of like, in their regular time is like, okay, I guess that is kind of good advice. Or you see how it backfires, or you see how it potentially, you know, they have to make maybe ultimately make a decision to close the portal, because you should just live your life in the moment that you're in.
I like that a lot.
This idea that you could have access to your own experience. And it could be funny if it was multiple teens, I don't know, like truly like found in a cave, or it's like, hey, on your 15th birthday, we tell you this family secret that we have access to this portal.
I wonder if it's like for the timeline breaking of it all, a little simpler if, because you've also pitched ideas before that I think are really cool about like, following a family like tree through time.
Yes.
So I wonder if like sometimes you open the portal and you get like your great, great, great grandfather. And
I know,
sometimes
I do
you
like,
open the portal and you get someone from like, I don't know, like hundreds of years ago or yeah.
I do like that too. I just like that very silly idea we had where we got visited by our past selves and we had to try to convince them we were successful.
The self talk of it all is very funny, because there's no one in the world you would be like more honest with.
Yeah. And like some versions know what you are thinking and some versions don't. Like one day you open the door and it's just the person, it's just you from a week ago. And you're like, oh, I don't know. Like
we have the same problem,
you know, like, but I think it was like a teen story with this like significant magical component. And then we'd have to architect the why of it all, of like why this story now, what is this kid facing now that this information helps or hurts?
Yeah.
Or is there like a need of their family, or a need of their school, a need of their friend, a need of their town, that this portal access like, and it's obviously, it's like a blank check thing. It's like too much of a good thing where then like maybe they start to feel a little powerful and they have to sort of rein that back in.
Yeah.
Which I do always like that. That's like a, it's sort of like almost a superhero origin story too, where you have to, part of it is learning to deal with being given a special power.
Right. Yes. Yeah, very cool. I'm into it. I have an easier time picturing the sort of like mechanic of it than the, I mean, obviously like the greater story that it lives within is like a, is a very big question mark right now, but,
right.
But like, yeah, it's cool. It's a, it's conceptually I'm down.
A teen portal, you know,
a teen portal.
I guess another way you could think of teen portal is this 15-year-old kid can summon the 15-year-old version of anybody in their life. Like,
Yeah, it's like 15-year-old Bill and Ted, but they come to you.
Yeah, exactly. And you are talking to your own parents at 15. You're talking to your math teacher at 15.
That's so like, funny, because all the people that you would think would have really good advice would always be giving you the bad 15-year-old advice of whatever it was that you were coming for.
Right. And I think it also like humanizes adults to remember that they were also like children, you know, like it's like the Back to the Future thing where meeting his own dad helps him understand like what a sweetheart he is,
right,
even though he thinks he's like weak.
Right.
I think that kind of stuff is always cool where you're like, oh, if you thought about how that person has also probably been scared to ask out a crush,
right,
you probably would realize you have more in common with them than you think.
I like that a lot. I think, yeah.
Any 15-year-old.
Any 15-year-old. You can talk to anyone in the world, but they will be 15. Like, yeah. Oh, you can talk to Einstein, but it's only 15-year-old Einstein.
Yeah.
And he's going through some fun stuff.
That's fun. I like that.
I like too. That too.
Famous 15-year-olds.
Famous 15-year-olds. Here's a silly one. This one's called Moon Mart. A family and their robot in a sleepy little moon town struggle to keep their moon 7-Eleven afloat when aliens open a moon Walmart across the street. It's just the kids are at night, but it's in space and it's in the moon.
I love it.
It's like, I don't know, but like sci-fi western-y, or like we always get like the very polished sci-fi, and the sort of like poor sci-fi is like exciting to me as a setting. There's a video game called Stardew Valley, which is about like you basically inherit like a broken down house in a town and end up like basically revitalizing the town one of two ways, either by like helping your neighbors or like helping the Walmart expand, or like the two ways it can go. But that to me is just like a small, like space 7-Eleven is very funny to me. And yeah, that's it. That's like, that's all I have for that one.
I love it. I was trying to think of something that I feel like another thing that I did like that we were coming up with was like competitions. So like a small town competition story. Like they're competing for like something really ridiculous, like corn mazes or like, but the idea of town versus town competing in something absurd.
Yeah.
It was more of a kernel.
Yeah. Kernel it. Yeah. Throw it in the fire. See if it pops. That's how you get popcorn.
I was surprised how often we had competition come up.
I feel like the one town, the this town is like this and this town is like something else entirely different, it's like really appealing.
Yeah.
And like probably they, you know, learn that they have more in common than they thought. But
of course.
But a ridiculous competition. Yeah. Because I mean that's real, right? Towns get like very into these very, very specific things. Like there's in New Jersey, where my in-laws visit sometimes, there's like Santa comes around in the fire truck every like Christmas. Like he rides the fire truck through the town and like that's a big thing. And they talk about it as if it's like, yeah, and then Santa will come around in the fire truck. Whereas me in California, I'm like, what do you mean Santa will come around on the fire truck?
Around in the fire truck.
But he does. And it's like a big thing. And everyone comes out to their houses to like watch Santa come around in the fire truck just in this little neighborhood in New Jersey. And I think it's funny if like, you know, you take a town's excitement for that and be like, well, our Santa on our fire truck is going to...
Our fire truck is bigger.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. I was thinking, yeah, or like a haunted house off that like goes awry. Like one of them gets like too terrifying, or if we wanted to go full like magic wildness,
yeah,
they accidentally conjure a real ghost. Yeah. Like, and...
I was thinking of a lot of 13-year-old colonial ghost boy.
Is
just a fun fish out of water that both like doesn't affect anything and is so hyper specific. But I think it's funny to have like two towns having a competition for best haunted house, and the town that always loses gets a 15-year-old colonial ghost boy, and it like turns the whole thing around because all of a sudden like he brings all his ghost friends or whatever. Like this one is really haunted now.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And it ends up being about they end up having to fix whatever will allow these ghosts to rest.
Right. They need to finally rest.
We got to stop that though. I think if ghosts are fun to hang out with, we got to stop sending them back. Just let these ghosts hang out in this town.
If these ghosts want to be here, I want to let them be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of, I don't know if this would be a little less of a good road to go down, but I do always like when we have like holiday specifics, they sort of help give a little bit of extra there. So I think that that's within that, that's something I like. And then additionally, that's always something to consider. It's like, yeah, it's the great holiday parade musical about like the two towns that are competing of who has biggest fire truck.
Yep. And one has a ghost. There's a Christmas ghost.
Or like, this town is so freaking obsessed with Valentine's Day, it's warped. And like,
yeah, that's messed up. That's a funny that's a funny one to drill in on.
Oh, fuck me.
Are you okay? Did you just hit the desk so hard?
Yes.
The camera shook. I couldn't tell if you were really excited or in pain. And I guess that's pain. Oh, I'm sorry, friend.
Keep it.
Oh no. Are we keeping it?
People have to know that I hit my knee on my desk.
Oh no, Jessica.
Ouch.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Okay, yeah. But like
I wish we were recording video, I'd clip it. Show everyone.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I do like, first of all, I like smaller stories, like four main characters and then fill in a world, three main characters, fill in a world, that kind of story. But it would also, I also would take on a like Love Actually style intersecting storyline type thing.
Yeah.
And a town that's, even though they already made a movie called Valentine's Day with Taylor Swift in it, like a town that is like warped about Valentine's Day and the intersecting storylines of many, many relationships.
Love is actually Valentine's Day.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Those are intricate. Not to say that we can't do it, but like those are twisty little tangle webs.
Yeah.
Are you ready for one of the stupidest things I've ever come up with?
Yep.
Okay. So we've heard The Wizard of Oz from Dorothy's perspective, and then we've heard it from The Wicked Witch. What if we heard it from Dorothy again, but she hates it? This is one where like, here's what I wrote this. Hates it is not exactly the right. This is called There's No Place Like Oz. Dorothy says, thanks, I'm good, to actually going home. And it's the story of four weirdos following a young woman and her dog who is just trying to mind her own business. Oh, it's like, she just like sets up shop in Oz and is like, actually, it's fine here and I'm fine. That's She's sort so of funny. An anti-heroine, and then everyone else just like bothers her. This does like fall into like, this is obviously someone else's IP, public domain, but... is one of those. And if that's not what you're into, then you won't be into this. But bad Dorothy. I guess I forgot that bad Cinderella just happened and like absolutely ate shit on Broadway.
Aw. Is that what that is?
What?
Bad Cinderella?
Bad Cinderella was, an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical that like opened and then roundly closed.
Amazing.
Not Once Upon a Time.
Got you.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time with star of stage Briga. Oh,
love her. Okay, I think we could, to go back to schooling.
Okay.
Maybe it's not wizards, but it could be wizards. But I do think separate from, I mean, ultimately, I think my heart is a little bit more with like a 15-year-old or a group of 15-year-old protagonists.
Great.
But we have had some fun college stories as well. I think that we could do a, it's this college. Like we could.
I got one of those on my list. And it's maybe about the same one that you're going to say, but maybe not.
Trickster You?
Oh, it's not Trickster You.
Okay, what's yours?
Mine is the Olympus You. It's like the fraternity sorority, but we take all the gods and we make them just teens. We've talked about this before. But the thing that I can't remember is if someone else has already done this thing.
Well, I don't know. There's like Percy Jackson coming out, which is like camp gods. It's the children of gods. And I think it's about to be like a little in the world because that show's premiering like in a month.
This I put a little older. This to me is like college kids. So they're into like college kid shit. It's a little sexier than like children.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about young adults here. And I think that it's just so funny because all of the gods are such shitheads. If you read about like the things that they actually do.
Oh, yeah.
Like Zeus is the worst. They're all awful. Like Hades. They're all bad. And it strikes me as something that would be like so funny to just like, great, this is like Greek life, but this is who they are. And it's just like a college drama, but they're, you know, drinking ambrosia and turning people into geese and fighting with each other all the time.
Okay, what about this really ridiculous idea? You ready to hear ridiculous idea from me?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, it's a college, but it's a college for bears. And
yes, bear college.
Bear college. And one hibernation season, a few bears can't fall asleep.
Oh no.
So it's just the havoc that a few bears who have the run of the college by themselves.
Right. And it's not like they destroy it, right? Because they do go to this school normally.
Yeah, they're like it's kind of like a Snowden story, which I feel like is something we've played with before too, where it's just like,
yes, like trapped in time and they're the only ones there for some reason.
And I'm stuck here with you and everything else about the story is treated completely human. It's just a world where, we forgot we were bears.
Yeah.
They act exactly like college kids or like boarding school era age, but they are stuck because they cannot stay asleep.
They can't go to sleep.
Because there's something in bear magic where if you don't get hibernated immediately, you can't get hibernated.
You can't get hibernated. There was 5% of me that was like, Jessica's about to spit a real bear fact here.
No, but...
But like we've all been like, there. Sometimes it's hard to get back to sleep. You have to get up and go do something, like go and go to college. Honestly, is this one called Bears Got to Get Knowledge, Bears Got to Go to College?
It's not called that. But yes.
I mean, I love it. I mean, that to me is like... That's sort of like right in the pocket of like, this is so stupid and crazy. In success, does this one have to be animated though?
No, man. Like, it's just us on stage with like little bear ears acting like never mind, exactly like humans.
Yeah, it's the Emmett like, Otter Jug Band live adaptation.
There's absolutely no part of this where we're like, rah, rah, rah. We're just like, oh man, I can't believe I'm awake with you, my enemies, and how are we going to become friends? It's like a Breakfast Club story about like, oh, we would never get along normally, but we're the four bears who are awake.
Are there also other animals that don't hibernate that take over the college when all the bears are asleep, or is the college just empty?
Okay, that's a great question. I think they think it's empty, and then maybe there's a fun midpoint where they're like, the birds come in here the whole time.
I thought they migrated. Like, it's like, nah, migration's just a lie, dude.
Dude, that's like, a lie.
We don't go anywhere. We used to migrate, and then you built a college here, and now we like actually
just,
stay.
There's just four Canadian geese who don't migrate, and they're like, wah, what are you guys doing here?
It's not cold. Actually, for us, it's fine.
We break into your college and we have a great time. And then they're like, get out of here.
Obviously, this one's great. Obviously, I have no thoughts on this one.
This is like a small idea I had before this meeting that got expanded by this meeting, by you specifically saying I could see the post. Like, I don't know. There is something treating everything else grounded about it, but there's just a conceit that we're talking about bears.
They're bears.
And I guess there's no real reason to, other than to have like this fun idea of like all the hibernation specifics. Like, what do any of these ideas give us? They just give us like specificity, right? Like, ultimately, it's a story about like unexpected friendship and coming together. And it could even be in a fun way. It could be like a short period of time. Oh, that's actually another bucket that I really like. I like our stories that are really actually short in the time that the story spans.
Yeah. 24 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Those
just
are
because
like,
it feels really present and everything feels really important.
Yeah, exactly. And I think those are fun to, it gives it just like a different metronome of stakes that I feel like we don't do in musicals that often.
Yeah. I agree. No, I like this idea a lot. Are you ready for an even stupider idea that I forgot that I wrote down?
Hit me with it.
Okay. So you know how we had the fast food Phantom bit that we did for a long time?
Of course.
And you know how there have been multiple musicals all called Phantom for some reason?
Yes, I do.
Well, what if we added another one? And this one's called, and it's not actually called this because we couldn't call it this, but it's basically called The Phantom of Love Island. And it's basically just there is like a big obsessive weird magical weirdo who has like very strong opinions about how he wants this season of Love Island to go. He knows who he wants to couple up. He knows how he wants people to treat the challenges. It's like so that on the, you have these like two sides of you have like basically this season of Love Island where things are going like very wrong because there's like someone in the fucking rigging like messing with all their stuff and like writing threatening notes, but the notes are all about like needing these two people to get together or have like this person voted off or whatever.
A haunted reality show is so funny.
Yeah,
I mean obviously. That would be really funny. Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Okay, thanks. I just wanted to share that with you.
I really love it.
Something about those like worlds that just because like the people of, and I'm talking about Love Island UK, obviously, but obviously, like the people of Love Island UK are like so specific, and having a big opera masked weirdo, having the like producers have to read the weird fucking threatening notes he sent about like needing Brian and Crystal to like to have more opportunities to spend time together. I don't know.
They need to get voted into the hideaway or else I will collapse the chandelier. That's just a neon light. Yes. This neon light that says spill the tea.
Yeah.
Great.
But really it's a statement about the boundaries between us.
We'll get there.
Okay, yeah. okay.
Obviously, these all will have heart. Like, there's certain things in the word cloud that are like, love. We are like, yeah, they will all be about
they'll
like...
They'll have love. Horses. They'll all have horses.
Redemption and growth and all the good things that we like.
Right.
Okay. Should we think of our favorite four? Because that's a votable amount in an Instagram poll.
Oh, for sure. Now, you want me to hear... Wait, how many more do you have?
That's it, really. I mean, I could keep like riffing off of like half ideas.
I have a couple more. I can go through them very quickly.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Also, we need to take a break.
Sure.
Okay.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, we didn't take a break, but maybe you did. Okay, let me bounce through these kind of fast. we both in going, this is just from our, us talking about the thing that we just did, but like we talked about how like Stargazer is a pretty good name for a superhero and how we both like our Spider-Man goes to therapy thing, which we obviously can't do because Spider-Man is not our IP, but Stargazer is our IP. So we could do like a superhero goes to therapy, like one evening. I don't know. I really like that one. That's funny. Like the therapist has another villain working for them. Like it's a real bodily episode thing.
I love that. Or what about like a retreat for superheroes?
So is it for them to like cool off?
Like it's like a therapy retreat, like a mindfulness weekend that involves like group therapy sessions.
I love it. Can villains also be there?
Yes.
Because, and there's just a rule that like, no one fucking fights here.
Ooh, like, crap. I think this is like an episode of She-Hulk.
Wait a minute. Yes, there is an episode of She-Hulk where there's a bunch, I think they are like reformed villains. It's specifically for villains.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
No, because She-Hulk's also there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
We'll put a pin there. This is a weird one. This one's called, I called it five stars. It could be anything. A famous chef attempts to gain some calm in their life by moving to a small town, but in doing so accidentally shines a global spotlight on a hidden gem when they open up a restaurant there. Can they use their success to revitalize the town, or will they destroy the quiet life that they desperately were seeking?
Aww,
this is like this idea of like kitchen stuff is so like those things are so intense. And there's this anime trope of like people trying to get away from their hectic, horrible like business jobs. And they just move to the middle of nowhere to like a small town to start like a quiet life. And so I like the idea that like this very, very talented chef would be like, this is too crazy. I'm just going to run a little tiny restaurant with lower stakes in the middle of nowhere. And this town like gets it for a while and they have this like little gift. And then someone finds it and like blows up the spot. And it's like, that's it is cute. One of the things, because you see this thing on like travel shows where Anthony Bourdain writes about a place and sometimes it destroys the place.
Yeah.
I don't know if that necessarily calls to us specifically or if that's like something we're really drawn to. Okay, here's some that we shouldn't do. Bats. bats is cats, but it's with bats.
Great.
Much Ado About Ducklings is just the Lion King treatment of Hamlet, but it's with ducks and it's Much Ado About Nothing.
Great.
Here are two that we might do, and these are my last two.
Are these your eggs, Benedict? That's my incredible joke.
That's good. That's actually, that's what it's called. It's called Eggs Benedict. Is the name of that musical. This one's called Goddamn Sherlock Holmes. This is like a Wicked treatment almost, but like this is Scotland Yard if they were the good guys and they're just trying to do their job and they're constantly getting their shit ruined by this like opioid addled man and his boyfriend Watson, who keep like running up every crime scene they have and make their jobs really, 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 because Scotland Yard like hates Sherlock Holmes, but you only ever see it from Sherlock Holmes' perspective,
where he's like solving the crime because he finds one thread.
This is a workplace comedy that isn't actually about solving the crimes. It's just these guys trying to do their job while Sherlock Holmes like wrecks their shit.
That, Zach, is a very funny series idea, I feel.
Oh yeah, maybe that's not a musical. Maybe that's like,
I mean, it could
thing.
Still be musicalized, but that to you putting it as workplace comedy and them having sort of like a crime of the day of the episode, sort of an inverted comedic procedural.
Yeah, you're right. We should stop. We should just keep this one for TV. This one's different.
I mean, honestly, it's good. I think a comedic procedural people have tried to crack, and it's a little tricky,
but this one's fun because like you just do the Sherlock Holmes like the mysteries are all done.
It's fun to play with the period of it.
Yeah, I really like that one for a lot of reasons.
Yeah,
maybe that's our new TV show that we pitch later in our next podcast.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay,
even if it wasn't all those specific capital N nouns, just like you get the vibe of what it is.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, this one is This one is like, I picture it as being like Assassins-y in sort of the way that it functions, but it's another idea that we have like kicked around before and sort of halfway developed and then didn't do, which is shoulder angels, shoulder devils. Yeah. And so this is just a series of like, the main characters is a shoulder angel and a shoulder devil who are trying to influence figures of history. And we're bouncing between the figures of history. But over the course of them doing it, it actually becomes less about that and more about them like realizing that they actually are very good friends with each other. Because they're not at first. At first, they're like mortal enemies.
Sure.
Who are trying to get Napoleon to like, you know, do whatever they're trying to get Napoleon to do. But is it, but that's like a structurally, in the same way that Assassins is like sort of non-narrative, that's like a different thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool to think of any of these as like song cycles even.
Yeah, that one's closer to that, I guess. It's just a series of songs and maybe.
I'm looking at the word cloud again.
What's in that cloud?
There are words in here that are, it looks like the proximity of a few words makes it look like it says competition boy.
Yes, I saw that too. Competition boy. The tale of competition boy. It actually says space competition boy.
Uh-huh. Which is very good. Okay,
Bad journey.
Good. Quest mapping is good.
Dang play. Children age,
small trying.
Summer ghost.
Dang play movie good high. Okay, we're gonna post this. Don't worry, you get to see this. Okay, so I think maybe. Yeah, wait, do you have any more?
Can you believe? No.
I mean, you did your homework way more. I was like, here are some buckets I like.
These
you
are all great. Like, we're just jumping off. And look, all these things are gonna change from what we've like pitched them as. This is just
I think maybe the only word here that's jumping to me that I feel like maybe we haven't inherited a little bit is inherited. I don't know. That's Christmas. Not the word I wanted to use. Is summer.
Yeah.
Which I do also like. I mean, I like any story where it's like, and the last night of summer is a nice specific timeline to give. Like if going back to like my first one, if they were slightly older, that summer before the summer between high school and college is like a pretty intense time.
Yeah. Cause it does at the ticking clock of like, going
yeah.
Back.
Like I think there's, I guess, I guess the, the hibernating bear story, if they're, if it opens with like a really big number about the last night before you go to sleep and like all the crazy shit you want to do.
You got to eat so much food.
You have so much because you got to sleep for weeks.
Yeah.
But actually basically almost any idea that we could additionally put like summer on it. I do like summer as a specific.
Yeah.
I like a summer trip idea. Like.
Yeah. Like. I was about to say book club too, but I actually don't know that that takes place in the summer.
I feel like those ladies are always living in summer.
Yeah, it does feel like summer is their season.
I have this completely separate idea that I have wanted to do. My mom has a pretty detailed journal when she backpacked in Europe when she was 20. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought it'd be cool as even like a nonfiction TV show to like either send her on a trip where she had to recreate it.
Yeah.
Or like a Mamma Mia style where like a daughter tries to like recreate her mom's backpacking trip.
Yes.
Just to like experience it, not necessarily to find which of her Papa Pias is her papa.
Don't get it twisted, Jessica. Papa Pia is the one where we know who the father is, but we're not sure who the mother is.
We have to learn who the mom is. I know. Papa Pia. Here we go somehow.
No.
Okay, so that's just a side thought. As I look at the cloud, that's the only word that I feel like jumped out at me that felt like we maybe hadn't touched yet.
We haven't talked a lot about horses.
I know or that wolves, one there too, but
they'll be in there. That's okay. Yeah, let's narrow this down. We haven't been keeping notes. I don't think we just both wrote down our own stuff.
I can just tell you internally, my two that I'm excited about are some sort of portal
okay.
and bear college.
Portal and Bear College. Portal Bear College is how that came out.
You know, we don't have the exact machinations on Portal. Is it anybody who's 15? Is it anybody from your family? Or is it yourself at any other age? But some sort of power is revealed where a teen can conjure other people through a portal.
Yeah.
For advice.
I think for me, mine would be like I got another college one. I guess like Olympus College.
Great.
And then where are you on the Phantom of Love Island? Too crazy, too weird?
I don't think too crazy. I think that there's a way to do that like fairly like an actually like funny, absurdist take on reality television, I think feels very rich. How big a play the ghost is in it is a dial we could mess with, right? Like any kind of comedic send up of Love Island as a musical or like something like that
could be
really fun. And yeah, I think there's a lot of like harnessing I'd want to do of that idea to make it like to the point we were talking about, make sure like the time span isn't too long.
Because to me, it's sort of between that one and maybe the moon one.
I also like a grounded moon story.
I like the grounded moon story, but I also like, what was the other one that you had?
Haunted house.
Oh yeah. The two cities with the haunted house. I'm going to put Moonmart and then Portal and then Bear College.
Okay. So Greek life.
Oh, yeah. Let's call it that.
Hibernation.
Greek life, hibernation.
Teen
15-year-old portal.
15-year-old portal and Moonmart. I love it. I think those feel... That's what you said, right?
Yeah. Although I'm wondering if Bear College and Greek life are too similar to both have on this list.
And this is also just a temperature check of like, if one of these gets a million votes, we will consider it. We're still ultimately going to pick an idea and land on an idea that we feel confident about writing. We just want to pay off that, like, you're here, reveal, people are listening,
right?
Maybe.
Oh my gosh, I forgot entirely.
And we want to see like what, because this ultimately, we do want this to be something that you would love, our loyal sleepy babies. So yeah. It's more like the vote will be like an indicator of where the heat is for us. And okay. Then ultimately there'll still be, honestly, we could scrap all these completely and be like, I think the only thing we liked was college.
Yeah, we're just doing college.
We're doing summer college, where you learn to be a lifeguard.
Yeah.
Like at any, you know, none of this is tied to anything, but I think a small story on the moon is fun. So I would opt to keep that.
Okay. Moonmart, Greek life, hibernation, 15-year-old portal and Moonmart.
Great.
Do we want to keep it at four? Or do we want to go to six? I mean, it's just a poll, right? Who cares?
I actually just didn't... Do polls go to six?
I mean, I can make a poll go to six. Where are we talking about doing a poll here?
Instagram story?
That's a good question. Instagram story polls might not go to six. Discord ones definitely do. And Facebook ones definitely do.
Oh, great.
I mean, I think maybe it's worth putting either whatever your favorite is between like haunted house competition or Valentine's Day or a town that gets obscene about Valentine's Day and Love Island Phantom, just to see if any of these things, those are pretty different energy than anything that's on this list right now. So I'd be interested to see if people were into that or other stuff.
Yeah, I think towns competing, let's say for now it's haunted house.
Okay.
But
haunted house town competition.
A lot of these have ghosts.
Do they?
Well, if we did Love Island Phantom, then that has a ghost, that has a ghost.
Well, Love Island Phantom is not actually a ghost. Because the Phantom is just a straight up weird man who's like I'm picturing it as a straight up actual Phantom of the Opera fandom where it's just a guy who like has a bunch of like secret machinery that he is hidden around. Like he doesn't have powers. His face was just burned. He wears a mask and he knows where the catacombs are below the whatever, but he's just a dude.
Great. Let's see what the people think, you know?
Okay. Great.
If this isn't possible on Instagram, we'll start at the Discord and Facebook. And when it's whittled,
when it's narrowed down, you'll be like one of the states that votes later in a primary where the choice has unfortunately like, sort of been made for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to pick someone else.
The Discord gets to be Iowa, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Congrats, Iowa. Congrats.
great. I think we will. Well, I hope that this was entertaining at all, but if it
I
wasn't,
do, but I can't control what's entertaining for you. All I can do is put my conversations with my dear friend Jessica out onto the internet. For
I'll
you
say
to listen to.
I do think that was pretty much how we would talk.
I think that was it. You would hit your knee just like that if people weren't listening.
I probably would.
Hey, please buy tickets to our live show. So we need you to, but also we want you to. But also you do you.
Yep. Thank you to those of you who came or streamed the Every Place I Cry show.
Yes, I believe you can still make donations if you want to see that show. That option is still available for you.
Thank you so much for people who've been watching this season of Play It By Ear. Thank you to everybody.
Yeah, I think we got two more Play It By Ears, and they're both also bangers that are fun.
And there's merch. There's a little bit more merch to come.
More tours to come. Keep your eyes on those spaces.
And as
thank
we say,
you, Brett, who we probably will also make edit this one.
But this should be
this
so
one's
going to
be
right,
so
Brett?
Easy, Brett. Wasn't it easy?
We love kiss, you, Brett. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Mm-hmm. And as we say at the end of every episode of one of these.
Hey. You. Get off of my cloud. Bob Dylan wrote that song.
Bye.
Bye. Did he write that song?
I think that's the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Hey. You get off of my cloud.
I like Bob's version of it though.
Hey
you get off of my cloud. Okay, bye.
Bye.